Would you stand with me for the reading of the word? Found in Luke chapter 23, verses 45 to 46. It was now about noon, and darkness came over the whole land until in the afternoon, while the sun's light failed and the curtain of the temple tore in two. Then Jesus, crying with a loud voice, said, "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." Having said this, he breathed his last. The word of God. Please be seated. Our thematic word this morning is trust. What are we trusting to God this silent Sabbath? What have you entrusted to him? This past month, we worked together as a community to interact and to speak out some of our requests and some of our heartfelt desires, and I thank you for that. If you're visiting with us today and you look upon this wall, I invite you sometime this weekend to come closer and read the hearts and the rhythm of this community. I'd like to share just a few with you this morning that we took pictures of. Here's one. It's a request to restore and renew my relationship with my adult kids, my adult children, who have been hurt through divorce, and that they may still see God, love them. Here's another. Mike, husband. Now, the one above it, surrender, they didn't come together. I don't want you to confuse someone saying, "I need my husband Mike to surrender." We quickly fixed that on the board and changed it. Here's another. Be with my friend who is struggling. Healing for my sister and for a friend. My kidneys. God, my kidneys. For anger, frustration, for pain, sadness, crying, nervous, and powerlessness. I'm overwhelmed, God. I would like to trust you with all of my overwhelmedness. And then this one from this weekend. My marriage, my mom's healing, my daughter's skin. God, remember me. Here we are together, pinned between what has happened and what has not yet to come. We're left holding on to our requests, not sure how all of this will be resolved. Today, our lives, together we sit in this silence. How did Jesus' last words carry us forward into the silent Sabbath? Well, imagine with me. Imagine, not even a full cycle of 24 hours ago, the skies had blackened and the world around us eclipsed by darkness. The Lucan researcher writes that the sun's light failed for 3 hours. He isn't concerned about how the cycle of the lunar rotation affects the eclipse. He has bigger issues at hand that he wants to consider and share with the community. Michael Walter, in his commentary, points out that eclipses cannot take place for astronomical reasons during the Passover festivals. You see, solar eclipses happen around the new moon, and well, Passovers happen around the full moon. So maybe this gospel here, maybe this particular gospel, is just copying the account of its elder brother, the Gospel of Mark. Or maybe The Lucan writer is recording the witness of a supernatural, divine, major event that happens out of the ordinary, because this is Emmanuel, God with us. This is the Messiah, the Son of God. Or just as likely, the community here is pressed in on the story. And the story is full of tension. It's riddled with uprising and a new kingdom and unconditional love and followership and jealousy and loss and sacrifice and lots of pain that leads to a gruesome death. It may be that hyperbole was the only way to speak of the crazy things that accompanied the event of humanly sacrificial divine love. And so the writer writes because the world is pitch black to him and to the community. Everything is now darkened by what has just taken place, as if to say that when Jesus dies, the world goes dark. That when an innocent life is taken, whether 2,000 years ago on Golgotha or 2 days ago in Gaza, the world goes dark. That when injustices reigns, the world goes dark. That when taking a life is more convenient of an answer than disrupting the economy of the empire, the world goes dark. What do we do when we are suspended between the problem and the resolve? The witnesses' lives are falling apart. Jesus is close to death. Everything everyone was hoping on is losing its very breath. The gospel tells us that the sun's light failed, and maybe it's metaphorical for the light that is failing in the eyes of the sun. The curtain is torn in the temple. And so for Luke's community, they are sure that something is happening, but they're not sure what that something is. Is it good news or is it bad news? Is the changing for the better because it feels like it's getting worse? Nothing seems to make sense when we are going through difficult things. Everything feels like a sign, but is it a good sign or is it a bad sign? I'm not sure. What do we do when we're suspended between the problem and the resolve? In this moment, we hear Jesus' voice for the last time. Father, into your hands, I commit my spirit. Jesus and the suffering righteous person of Psalm chapter 31 share these words of surrender and trust with a very distinct difference. In Psalms, the writer is being redeemed by Jehovah, El Emeth, Lord God, who is faithful and steady. Into your hand I commit my spirit. You have redeemed me, O Lord, faithful God. But Jesus, in his fleeting breath, does not call God Jehovah or El Emeth, God who is faithful. He doesn't use any names that are comparable to this, not Jehovah Jireh, the Lord our provider. He doesn't need provision in this moment. Not Jehovah Rapha, Lord our healer. He's beyond healing at this moment. Not El Shaddai, all powerful. Jesus didn't need the power of the universe at this point. Not Theos, God, or Kurios, Lord, or Alpha and Omega. He was in a moment and he needed just a specific thing. Instead, Jesus used an identity marker for familial intimacy, an intimate member of refuge and love. I don't need power, Jesus says. I need presence. Pater. He just wants to entrust himself to someone who he can count on to be present for him in this moment of death. I believe that no matter what we as humans go through, good or bad, healing or pain, life or death, what we all want is to trust our whole selves to someone who will love us and care for us at our best and at our worst. Someone to be present. That when we are at the end of our wits, at the end of our strength, at the end of our resource, at the end of our rope, that there is someone we can trust ourselves to. We've all been in a moment or another when we've just had to make that reach out, where we've had to make a call, Mom, can you pick me up? Dad, can you just stay by me, please? Mom, I just needed to hear your voice. Visiting a family who was father and son and grandkids all knew me well. The father's health was seriously and rapidly declining. At one point, as I was there with them, there was a caretaker who was watching over stuff, but the whole time, the father was holding the hand, shaking, of his son. He says to his son, Son, I'm sorry. With humility and embarrassment in his voice, he says, this is my job to take care of you. And here you are, taking care of me. I'm so sorry. And the son, without missing a beat, says, Dad, it's an honor to be here with you, as you have always been there for me. Presence over power. This is, as I think back to the years of the pandemic, as many healthcare workers would do, much like my wife, who would come home and tell me stories of people who had to die alone, where she would come and visit their room and hold their hand or brush their hair. Because everyone should have someone present in their life. And so he says, Pater, into your hands, Spirit. Jesus commits his spirit and trusts himself to the intimate relational bond, even while he is full of fear and hurt and facing an unhappy death. I pray that we all understand trust does not mean that you will go without pain. One can trust even in the midst of pain. Trust does not mean that you will go without doubt. One can trust even in the midst of one's doubts. Trust does not mean that you are going to go without questions. I'm sure Jesus was in a lot of pain. I'm sure Jesus had his doubts as we heard him in his prayer in the garden earlier. I'm sure that Jesus had questions, and yet in this moment, Jesus says, through my pain and my doubt and my questions, I'm going to trust my spirit into your hands. We can trust and still be broken. We can trust and be crying and screaming. In fact, it's in these moments that I must entrust myself to the care of another, to allow someone to be present for me. Here for Silent Sabbath, I want to invite you to slow down and entrust yourself to the one who has always been present. And then entrust yourself to the presence of one another.
Maybe the answer of what do we do when we suspend, when we're suspended between the problem and the resolve, is to be present together with it all. To make space for not fully understanding, for tears, for questions, and all the while trusting in the power of being present together. And maybe, maybe in that place, it is just enough. 2 weeks ago, my son, and you all know I would do anything for my child, my children, anything. I would go to the deepest depths. I will travel the world. I will fight the biggest obstacles for them. But 2 a.m. may be my limit. A couple weeks ago, 2 a.m, my son moves around and he's not feeling good, and it could have been the Indian food we had. It was good to me, but not to all. I feel him get up and he goes and clicks on the light and he's in the restroom for a while. And then he comes back and he shakes me and he says, "Dad." "Yeah, son." "Dad, I have a stomach ache. My tummy's owie. Can you come with me to the potty?" "Yes, son." We go to the potty together. And I'm reminded, as we're there together, that growing up, I had a lot of stomach aches, a lot, an irregular amount. And having to wake up my dad and saying, "Dad, can you come with me?" And my dad standing there in the late of the eve until I felt better. And in those moments as a child, I knew that my dad couldn't fix me. I just needed him there with me. We're standing there in the evening and my eyes are bloodshot red and I'm trying to sound happy and excited to be standing there. My son, with a whimper, says, "Dad." I say, "Yeah." And he says, "Are you okay?" "Yeah. Dad's okay." They say, "Do you want me to hold your hand?" And he says, "Mm-hmm." And then this little hand, in pain, in the process, suspended between his problem and his resolve, reaches his hand out, and I reach mine to clasp his. And in that moment, being present was enough. And into each other's hands, we committed our spirits that evening. Maybe here in Silent Sabbath, upon the suspension of what has happened and what might resolve, with no acknowledgement of what might tomorrow look like, here in this place, above power, may we be present. And in our presence, to trust each other and find that is enough.